Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Friday, September 26, 2014. And on today's podcast, we're going to discuss the U.S.-led attacks on Syria. And we will talk about President Obama's coalition and what that means for the prospects of a broader regional war in the Mideast. At about 4:30 a.m. on the morning of September 23rd, the U.S. launched the first phase of the attack using Tomahawk cruise missiles launched from a guided missile destroyer in the Red Sea and a guided missile cruiser in the Persian Gulf. The missiles struck targets near Aleppo in northwestern Syria, where Syrian air defenses are concentrated, thus avoiding risk to manned aircraft. The second phase of the attack consisted of F-22 Raptor fighter attack aircraft, the most modern in the U.S. fleet and the first time the F-22 has been used in combat. The F-22 has a stealthy, low-radar profile and struck targets near Raqqa, thus reducing the anti-air threat to the third phase. The third phase consisted of aircraft from the carrier George H.W. Bush operating in the Persian Gulf, which carries 48 F-18 Super Hornet fighter attack aircraft, as well as EA-6B Prowler electronic warfare aircraft. The third phase included aircraft from coalition partners Bahrain, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, with Qatar adding coordination and logistical efforts. French jets were restricted to Iraqi targets only and did not enter Syrian airspace. The European allies, other than France, have chosen to sit this one out. The Syrian anti-aircraft defenses did not light their active tracking signals during the attack, which gives credence to the idea that the Syrians were given advance warning of the attack and accepted it. The aircraft operating from the George H.W. Bush were more than 850 miles from their targets, which is well beyond their combat radius. This created a logistical problem that required the use of refueling tankers. All the carrier aircraft and coalition aircraft had to be refueled in flight, which requires numerous tankers that have to be allocated and protected. As we've said before, there is no carrier battle group operating in the Mediterranean which would put it in close proximity to Syria and prevent the necessity of in-flight refueling. The fourth phase of the attack consisted of what flyers call BDA, or bomb damage assessment, aerial and satellite inspection of targets to assess target damage and the attack's effectiveness. Targets included command and control facilities, communications, armored vehicles, supply depots, fuel and munitions, and training camps. The fifth stage of the attacks are ongoing as we record this podcast, and that consists of continued and constant attacks to pressure ISIS and make it very difficult for them to conduct offensive operations in the open. This includes ongoing close air support in support of Iraqi and Kurdish forces. But what about this coalition the president has put together? It is the largest group of Arab military forces assembled against a common target since the 1991 Gulf War. The joint nature of the operation provides legitimacy for U.S. action, but perhaps makes regional war more likely, if not inevitable. If you analyze the members of this coalition, you see there are really only two: Jordan, an old friend, a longtime ally, and Saudi Arabia, which controls the satellite states like Bahrain, which has the home port of the U.S. Fifth Fleet, the United Arab Emirates, and Qatar. The United States is appalled, it says, by the beheadings and barbarism of ISIS. But coalition partner Saudi Arabia just a few days ago quietly beheaded 23 people. No YouTube videos for them, though. It was done on the quiet. In addition, Saudi authorities raided and arrested members of a prayer group meeting in a private home. It is a crime in Saudi Arabia to possess a Bible. The Saudis have supported the rebel groups in Syria and Iraq for years, and many people think they still do. But the United States just signed a $60 billion arms deal with the Saudis, the largest deal ever for a single country. The U.S. has allied itself with Arab monarchies while overthrowing others, but it seems obvious to me that cooperation with Iran is going to become necessary if we are to suppress and defeat ISIS. Iran wants ISIS suppressed to take pressure off their ally, Mr. Assad, in Syria. The U.S. cannot ally with Iran publicly, but in my view, one reason for President Obama's casual attention toward ISIS is that he has already made the Iranian deal. Finally, folks, Syria is the seventh Muslim country to be bombed by the 2009 Nobel Peace Prize winner, Mr. Barack Hussein Obama. He should return the prize with apologies. At least that's the way I see it, folks. Until next time, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.